All right, is that better? All right, not that I need a mic, but if you have your Bibles, turn with me. I am really loud. That's okay. We're going to, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. And if you're in Vacation Bible School this past week, whatever it is, my weeks are running together. You read this story. While y'all are finding out, I want to talk to you about what's kind of taking place out at Oakwood. We had our big summer kickoff party. Thank you, church family. For those of you that prayed, those of you that made gift baskets, it was a huge, huge mistake. I bet we had over 100 people out there. Just unreal. Kids camp was amazing. We had about 12 kids that came. This is amazing in itself. We had two kids get saved along with a mom. The mom went everywhere with the kids. So Mr. Ronnie from First Baptist Blanchard came and was sharing the gospel. Well, this mama gets under conviction and walks outside. Well, another man from First Baptist Blanchard walks out and starts ministering to her, and she ends up getting saved. So a son and a mom get saved at there. So right here, you saw the people leading you in worship. Wasn't your original people leading worship, but this is our Oakwood team leading worship. The little blonde-haired girl sitting right over here, she's new. She's actually an answer to our prayer. One time I was praying, and I'm going to tell on you. That's okay. And I just told my congregation, and I said, y'all pray, because anytime we've been losing people because they move out of the community, we're in a mobile home park. When somebody leaves a mobile home park, the likeness of them coming back is very slim. So I just started praying. I said, God, just send new people. I opened up my eyes, and there was new people talking about God supplying. And they have been such a blessing to our family as well. The worship time that everything has happened out at Oakwood. It's just been amazing. So I'll let you read your letter that I wrote on there. And I'll kind of explain kind of what's going on, kind of what we're doing. So let's pray as we open up in prayer. Father God, you're a good, good Father. And Father, we need you now more than ever. We need you to speak. We need you to move. We need you to touch hearts. Father, there's hurting people here. And you're the only person, the only person that can help us. God, I pray, God, that you would do what only you can do. Move Jamie Rowe out of the way and put your spirit here. God, we'll be sure to give you praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. On Tuesday, September the 11th, 2001, our nation was rocked by terrorists. On Sunday, September 16th, 2001, churches across the nation were filled, were packed out. Maybe this one was too. Probably less than a month later, churches were right where they were before 9/11. The question that we have to ask ourselves is this: why? Why aren't we seeing a hunger for God like the people of the Great Awakening in the 1730s and the 1740s? Hebrews 13:8 says that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. If this is true, then the question is, why aren't we seeing God move like He did during the Great Awakening? If He's the same today as He was way back then why aren't we seeing it? Yes, there's several reasons why that we could go to. But I want to focus on one. And I believe that it would summarize anything you might be thinking is the problem. And that is a lack of dependence upon God. That's a lack of dependence upon God. If we look at our nation as a whole, I'm not talking politics, I promise. We look at our nation as a whole, and then you look at yourself, put that mirror in front of your face, and say, God, where do I fit into this mold? You can call it a political problem. You can call it a black-white problem. The problem is we have a sin problem. And we lack a dependence upon God. And if we truly are followers of Jesus, followers of Jesus, then it's our duty to live by God's standards. And it can be found in our text today. So if you got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Very, very familiar story, and I'm hoping that I can kind of shed some light on this. And it says, immediately Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side. While He sent the multitude away, he went up to the mountain by Himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there, and the boat was in the middle of the sea, tossed by waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." Here's Peter. And Peter answered Him, "Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You to You on the water." I love this part. And what did he say? And so He said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out and said, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out His hand, caught him, and said to him, "Oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped Him, saying, "Truly, You are the Son of God." Let's pray. Father, this is Your word. May it come alive. May You speak to hearts now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So what does it mean to have a dependence upon God? So if you turn your paper over of the letter, there's some fill-ins that I use. This is the way we kind of do it out at Oakwood. And one, it keeps everybody awake, and two, it kind of keeps them engaged. The first thing is our lives are saturated with prayer. Our lives are saturated with prayer. It's a dependence upon God. Who are we talking to? In our text today, what was Jesus doing before He came to them? He was praying. What you must understand, though, is this. Is if you read the beginning of the chapter, we read that where John Baptist was killed. Okay? They were best friends. as well as cousins. Then right after that, he did what? Fed the 5,000. So not only is Jesus heartbroken, but he's also exhausted. And he had to get along with his father. Yeah, what you must understand is this. Jesus is fully human. I'm sorry, he's fully God, but he's also fully human. So he had to get along with his father. And if Jesus finds it important to get along with the Father, then don't you think we should too? Church family, how's your prayer life? Jesus finds it very important to get along with him. And we wonder why we're in the state that we are today. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. If you are a Bible marker, mark it. If not, I would mark it anyway. Verse 16 says, so he himself, talking about Jesus, often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Why did he choose the wilderness? Because he was alone. He got alone with the Father. Second thing is this, we must become vulnerable. We must become vulnerable. In verse 28 of our text, it says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come. You see, at this moment, Peter had a choice. He had a choice. He said, Lord, command me to come. He's taking down all his walls. He's saying, God, I am yours. Command me to come. Peter is letting down all the guards in his life. He's saying, God, I am yours. He became vulnerable. Peter didn't know what was fixing to take place. Peter could have put up a wall at this point and said, no, I'm good. But here's the thing. Peter knew who was calling him. He knew his voice. And folks, that's exactly the way we need to be. But our problem is that we put limitations on God. We put limitations on God and say, God, I'll do it if you don't do this. I will only go this far. What if God did something in your life so drastic? What if God did this? At this moment, Peter is saying, God, I'm taking down all walls in my life. God is saying to you, put down your walls that you have built and watch me work. See, we build these walls in our lives, and it hinders God working in our lives. You know, every year I have the privilege of taking youth to camp, not just from Mesa, but from home too. And every year I tell them, I said, become vulnerable towards God. Become vulnerable. Why do I tell them that? Because a lot of them have baggage here. that they don't want to give up, that they don't want to release. And maybe that's you, church family. Maybe you're holding on to something and you're going, God, and in the midst of this, you're going, God, command me to come. God, if I could just step out and say, God, I'll give you everything. We just sang a song and I'll give you everything. Is that really your prayer? Which leads me to my third point, is we must face the storms head on. We must face the storms head on. Look at verses 29 and 30. And so he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink and cry out, Lord, save me. The beautiful picture of God's grace. Okay, let's be honest with ourselves. We're closer to God when we're in the midst of a storm. When we're right in the middle of a storm, we cry out to God, God, save me. And what does God do? He saves us. John 16:33 says, these things that I have spoken to you, that you may have peace, but in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In your letter that I wrote to y'all, where's Miss Sue? There she is. I'm not going to look over that way, Miss Sue. I kind of shared my heart with y'all about what's kind of going on at Oakwood, about things that have happened, about 2 weeks ago, we were told that we cannot have religious activities out at Oakwood anymore. When we got the news, it was like a gut punch to me. For 2.5 years, we have poured our lives money and financial stuff, and y'all were all part of this. And so, man, it was shocking. We were like, God, what do we do? Here we are, we're doing this, and then we realize that none of this catches God by surprise. I have a very loving church family. Very loving church family. If I'm honest with you right now, which I am, I don't know what's going to happen. We're hoping to stay in Pueblo. We're praying to stay in Pueblo. But right now, we just don't know. But it's a deal that we're stepping back. We're facing this storm head on. We're facing this storm head on. We ask you to pray for us, as I shared in my letter. Okay. And here's the reality. And I shared with you, some of y'all were going through some really, really hard times right now. Some really hard times. And where did Peter find Jesus? It was when he said, "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." That's the shortest prayer. Lord, save me. It's when we can face that storm head on and say, "God, I can't handle this on my own. I can't." We don't know what's going to take place here now. But it's when we can say, "God, I understand now." Looking back, you know, look, now it looks cloudy. Everything looks cloudy now. But on the other end, we're going to go, "God, I completely see where you're at work." Fourth thing is this, and I'm almost done. We must realize who Jesus is. What did Jesus tell Peter after he called him? He said, "Oh, you of little faith." Can I tell you something? Little faith is better than no faith. Little faith is better than no faith. Where were the other disciples? They had no faith. They didn't step out. But this is the part that I want you to understand. What did they do when they got back in the boat? Now, understand this. This is a little side note for you. Jesus didn't calm the storm right away, right? They walked through it. They walked through it with Jesus. A lot of times, we don't have Jesus right here beside us. We do it on our own. But Peter had Jesus hand in hand, walking through it. But what did the disciples do when they got back in the boat? They worshiped him. You see, as I've already said earlier, Jesus doesn't change. We change. Jesus doesn't change. Our Father doesn't change. Jesus said, "I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever." And what we must do, even though it's the hardest thing that we could ever do, is worship Jesus through our storms, through our storms of life. And it sounds petty, and it sounds hard to do, which it is hard to do, is to worship Jesus through a storm that you're going through. I want y'all to listen to this song. I'm going to call V and Andrew and Tate up. Then after that, we're going to do the Lord's Supper. While they're getting ready for this, while they're playing this song and singing this song, what storm are you going through? Where are you right now? Have you cried out, "Lord Jesus, save me"? Maybe you need prayer. I know we don't practice coming to the altar or whatever. This altar's special. There's something about coming to the altar and giving God your prayers. Maybe you need me to pray for you. I'll be down here. Maybe you need to do business right there where you are. Just listen to this song as they sing. I'm going to ask the people serving the Lord's Supper to please come up, please. In Mark chapter 14, verses 22. It says, and they were eating. Jesus took the bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to them and said, take, eat. This is my body. Brother Bill, will you pray for us, please? Then he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And when he said to them, this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. For surely I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink of the new in the it in the new in the kingdom of God. Brother Vern, will you pray for us, please? Amen. Thank y'all for being here. Thank you for the guys that served. Thank you for the Tate and the Oakwood band worshipers. Guys, we see this every Sunday out at Oakwood. This is what I get to experience. And it just blesses my heart to see them up there worshiping. The oldest one out of them is my son, and he's 22. So you got youth that are leading in worship. How incredible is that? That's pretty phenomenal, and for that I am so grateful. Absolutely. In closing words, what storm are you going through? And who are you leaning on? Who are you leaning on? Okay, amen. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer. Father, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Father, you see these hearts. You see the hearts of your people. And Father, some of them are crushed. Some of them are hurting very badly. And God, as I pray this prayer, we think about Dean. We think about Rihanna, Father. God, I pray, God, a special touch on that family. And God, I pray, God, for the ones that are struggling now, that your Holy Spirit would give comfort where comfort needs to be given. God, you're God, we're not. Do your work. Thank you for my church family. We ask this in Jesus' name, I pray.